Palestinian colleagues, many of whom I know and some of whom I've lost. I want to thank Diego, Thomas, and Max, who produced the show. You can find me at chrisedges.substack.com.
LA Theater Works airs here on KPFK every Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. Coming up tonight,
a poor Sicilian widow is raising her only daughter in post-war Louisiana.
Oh, Madonna, Madonna, speak to me. What are you saying here? Please, lady, I can't hear you. Is this a sign?
Mercedes Rule and Anthony LaPaglia star in The Rose Tattoo by Tennessee Williams. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's LA Theater Works coming up here on KPFK tonight at 10 p.m.
Yo, this is your brother Speech from the crew Arrested Development. You rocking with KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
Segment of Think Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Mark Cofield. Good to be back. I know my listeners been missing me, but I'm back here today, and I got a desk full of stupid things Trump have done since I've been gone. Yeah, y'all know ain't nothing changed. For those who like to be a part of the discussion, you can call in at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, option one. So it's been heavy on my mind, white supremacy. For some reason, people who have this ideology, after all this time, it hasn't worked. They still trying to do it. And then you have, I would say, as far as being a manipulator, a genius that have went in the Oval Office and trying to implement white supremacy policies. Now, I'm not going to say that Donald Trump is a white supremacist, but I will say that his policies, his actions are. Okay, so I want to give a shout out to my daughter, Shambrika Alexander. If she's listening, your daddy loves you. She just lost her mom, and I know how it is for someone to lose their mother. I'm you have my condolences. All your siblings and your family members, you have my deepest condolences. And just stay strong. Your daddy loves you. And we're in a time of where tomorrow is not promised. And what I don't get and I don't understand is that all of these people, these white nationalists, these Christians that's promoting this hatred, where do you think you're going to fit in this heaven? You think this heaven going to be white? This heaven that the Bible talks about, you think this going to be full of white people? You think you're going to have an advantage up there? You're going to be better than someone who was black on the earthly realm, or somebody who was Asian, or somebody who was Hispanic? You think you're going to be better than them? So this is the conclusion that I've came to. Those who have that white supremacy ideology, you're not really Christians. You're just trying to use that to get over the same way the slave master did back in the day. You want people to believe that you're this all God-fearing person when you're not. Because it's just common sense to me now. See, that's one thing about me today. I have good common sense. You can't pull the wool. You can't fool me. You can't trick me. I've been around the best of the con men. The best of them. And I know a con when I see it. You're a bunch of con people. All you're doing is trying to con those who are able to be con. But those who know game when they see it, you can't fool them no more. They're hip to what you're doing. And this is why so many people are turned off from the church, turned off from Christianity. And I'm not blaming the church. I'm not blaming the church or Christianity. I'm blaming the people that are professing to be that. Because you're making the church look bad. You're making Christianity look bad. And if I didn't know scripture, if I didn't know your whole get down was a lie, I probably wouldn't be a Christian either. But thank God that I do know scripture. And I know everything y'all doing and talking about is a straight up bold-faced lie. No way that you believe in what I believe in. And you're going to be acting the way you acted. I would be scared to have the mentality or the ideology that you have. Because I know that you're going to be judged for that. So I didn't come on here to preach this morning, but and maybe some of y'all really need to go to church and get out them old all-white churches that you in. And I don't support an all-black church. I don't support an all-Asian church. I don't support an all-Hispanic church. You think that's what heaven going to look like since this is what we believe in? Man, knock it off, man. So a few updates on some things. Now, the Trump administration is telling those states who do not turn over the immigration information that they have on their residents that they're going to withhold funding, all federal funding, from their low-income programs. You see what they're trying to do? Remember, I've told y'all that when I was incarcerated, how the administration would pit people against each other, divide and conquer in order to have power. So this is what Donald Trump said. What we're doing is not working. So I know what we'll do. We will hit the low-income people. And it's just not going to be black, because blacks are not the only one low-income. It's going to be whoever's low-income. They're going to hit. They've already hit it with the big, ugly bill, but they're going to hit it even harder. He said he's going to withhold all federal funding That means those who have rental assistance, those who own health care assistance, food assistance, they're going to withhold the federal funding, all of it for that. And they're going to say, we're doing this because your state won't turn over these documents. And the average person is going to say, wait a minute, hold up now. Why wouldn't you turn over these documents? And they talking about cutting my programming, cutting funding that takes care of me, that helps me. And it's going to pit the low-income people against the immigrants. You mark my words. One thing I know that Rob Bonner, the Attorney General for California, he's going to file a lawsuit against that. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm sure the other states are going to do it too. But it's just the fact that he's trying to do this. Another thing he's trying to do, the Trump administration, he's telling the colleges that are giving minorities assistance, it's going to withhold their funding as well. So let me ask you something. What is white supremacy? If that ain't white supremacy, what is? That's why I say his policies are. So let me get to a caller. Carlos, you on the line, Carlos? Carlos from
Yes. Good to have you back, man. Good to have you back.
Yeah, I know you miss me, man. What's going on your mind this morning?
Your arguments make a lot of sense, and you know, you're right. It's these supremacist movements are nothing but all they do is mask the white hatred for those that are non-white, as embodied by Trump and Mussolini and Hitler and Franco. And right now it's spreading, of course, through Milei in Argentina, through various other places where fascism is spreading. And it's really a denigration of this, or hatred of whatever the lower classes. That's what it is. You know, and look, it's exemplified by what Trump just said about Mexico. All you're good for is tamales. You know?
Yeah.
And let me just say, there's a lot of people that eat tamales here, you know. But you're also right about the Christian fundamentalists spreading the fascist message, even though most of them are not aware of how they're being exploited and utilized, because it's all about fascism, the spreading of fascism and Zionism, which work hand in hand. And I hate to say it, but in Mexico, all these all these fundamentally Christian sects are spreading like crazy. And as they spread, guess what? The Catholic Church is abated, is diminishing, you know. So, and all these fundamentalist Christian sects are not just in Mexico. They're spreading all over Latin America in a preponderant manner. So, I mean, it's a real danger, man. And then it's too bad. It's sad that a lot of these Christians think they're really spreading the word of God, when in reality, they're spreading hatred, fascism, and Zionism.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's all I got to say, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Carlos. Thanks for the call. Okay, thanks for the call, thank bro. You. All right, let's get to Ben from Buena Park.
Hey, Mark. Good to hear you.
Good morning, again, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. A little rainy here these days. But listen, I want to pick up on your thing where you're talking about, you started off by talking about the a white supremacist.
Yes.
And you know, you talked about the conned people. Yeah. In the carnival, they call them marks, right? They're marks. They're targets. They're the people to get suckered into the game. But the white supremacist, what I was going to say, and it's just a thought, that a white supremacy is based on self-righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they think they're the right ones. And by the way, That's the same self-righteousness that brought us to Salem witch trials. Oh, it's also the same self-righteousness that brought us Jim Crow and McCarthy. And it's also the same self-righteousness that brought us ice snapping, you know, the illegal taking of people without due process.
Yeah.
All of it based on, and there's another thing that the white supremacy does, and it produces lies. And I just want to make out, you know, three little points here is that one point is that we had a caller bring out, roll up a lie that Iran is set to make nuclear weapons. No, they're not. Iran has made it very clear that they will have no nuclear weapons because you should know this. Our own intelligence knew this. In fact, that's why the JSCPOA was so successful is because it was just a way to prove to the world that Iran had no intention to make nuclear weapons. In fact, the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the one that he was the first one back in the early 2000s, he issued a fatwa against nuclear weapons. You see, against weapons of mass destruction. And oh, by the way, isn't that what got us into the Iraq war? Was the false claim that there were weapons of mass destruction? No. In fact, one of George Bush's admissions at the end of the war was his big disappointment was they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. Well, anyway, that goes to that one. The other one I wanted to say that really needs to be explained that and understood is that you had a caller say that Cuba was a result, was the socialism in Cuba was what brought them down. No, I remember the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s when Cuba was a model country, having health insurance for everyone, having a home. Everyone was able to get a home. And then what happened is that the United States, they didn't like this so much. Oh, by the way, the other one was that everyone would have a job. That was the big selling point I remember back in the 50s and 60s, that everyone had a job in Cuba. There was no unemployment, right?
We got to start wrapping it up, man. Well,
anyway, then we came in. Yeah, okay, I was going to say that it's because of our sanctions on Cuba that is the reason why Cuba is not doing very well now, because they can't get medicine, they can't get food, they can't get fuel. Those are the facts. And I just wanted to clear that record up. So y'all have a good day.
All right, thank you, Ben. And I agree with the, I agree with you on the Cuba. If it wasn't for them with this embargo on them, they wouldn't be struggling the way they are. Oh, the United States, boy, I tell you, the United States, I don't care whether it's up a Democratic or Republican leadership. It's just, it's, you don't know who to believe now. But this is why I've stopped supporting Republicans almost in its entirety. Okay, so, and I want to say this, shame on J.D. Vance, who once called Trump a modern-day Hitler. Shame on Mitch McConnell, who said that Trump would be the end of democracy if he became president. So did Lindsey Graham. And Marco Rubio, little Marco Rubio. Remember Trump was calling him little Marco Rubio? All them agreed that Trump, it would be the end of America as we know it. And now they kissing his ass. All up in it. So that is the definition to me of a coward. Someone who will not make a stand against someone when they know they're doing wrong. That's a coward. Straight up, no other way to put it. I just want to put that out there. And let's talk a little bit about Hitler and him being a white supremacist, a dictator, a tyrant. Now, he felt and believed in his heart that Germans were superior over anyone. You think I'm not telling the truth? Google it. And so here comes the Olympics. I can't remember, 40-something, 42. Don't quote me on the year that those Olympics was, but they was the Olympics when this black man, named Jesse Owens went to Germany and whooped them Germans' butts in track and field. What happened to the white supremacy? What happened to the all great, all powerful, we can't be beat? See, so I'm just giving you facts. So they are trying to have a ideology that is wrong. It was proven. Hitler's thought process, his ideology was proven wrong when Jesse Owens went over there and smashed him. Made him look bad. So let me tell you what I believe. I believe the same as I believe with Germany. They tried to have one last stand before they lost the war completely. I believe that the Confederacy, when we had the Civil War was already over, but you had the Confederacy still had pockets. I believe now that we're in pockets of white supremacy. I believe that the last pockets is this Trump administration. This is the last stand right here. This is the last stand to see if white supremacy is going to prevail. I don't think it is. Now, I mentor youth. And I can tell you for a fact that these youth, they don't want that white supremacy. They do not want it in their lives. They want it gone. So I might not live to see white supremacy flushed all the way out, but I guarantee you my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will. I guarantee it. This is out. White supremacy is not success, is not a success. It has never worked. And if you look at the history of the United States of America, white people alone didn't make this country great. And I don't have to go through all the contributions, all whatever immigrants have made, whatever black people have made, whatever anyone have made. Because we know that whites weren't the only one that did it. And for those of you who are not white, but you have a white supremacist attitude, it's over. You can forget about it. This white supremacy is done. And I hope I live to see it. Let's get to some more callers. Robert from L.A. You on the line, Robert?
Mark, I am. Good morning.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
What's on your mind this morning?
You know, I'm an outraged American. I lost my mind when Renee Good was murdered by Jonathan Ross, and the president said that there was immunity for that man. There is no immunity in the Constitution that allows ICE members to murder American citizens or to murder anybody. There's no immunity for law enforcement to run around and kill the people that they're sworn to protect.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I've seen this scourge of racism come into L.A. I've lived here all my life, and I've seen this scourge of racism, and not that it hasn't always been here. I'm a white guy who grew up in Altadena, and I've seen it all my life. I know what's up. But I tell you what, when ICE came in, it's worse. It's worse. The people with this attitude, the supremacist attitude, who come out of the woodwork with this, and they're all over the place. They're enriching themselves with the hate that
right.
Donald Trump has.
Right. Well, you don't have to be white to be a white supremacist. White supremacy is an ideology. It's not actually, it's not a color, anything like that, because you have black people that have the mindset of someone who's a white supremacist. You have some Hispanics. You have some Asians. You know, it's an ideology. It's a thought process. that people who white believe that they're better. And then you have those who are not white that believe this ideology. That's why they roll with them.
It's really gross, and it just seems that there's been such a scourge of it across Los Angeles. We've got this Jim Crow fascism happening. It's just terrible, and I'm really grateful for what you do here on this radio show and the way that you reach out to people. Just the name of your show says it all. I mean, thank you very much for what you're doing.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Robert, and I appreciate the call, man. I really do.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to Harold out of Santa Barbara. You on the line, Harold?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. What's on your mind?
Oh, I agree with you. And Altadena has something in common with my hometown of Redlands. And you're absolutely right about white supremacy is an ideology. Because in my hometown of Redlands, you got blacks, Asians. I mean, you've got a whole hodgepodge of people that actually believe white supremacy is part of them. I mean, a stone called what we used to call jet black man told me he has more white blood in him than anybody else. It's a trip. It's a real trip, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. My personal opinion. And this is my personal opinion. I believe that if you're a person of color and you align yourself with those who are promoting white supremacy, I think you have a mental problem. I think you need to seek out help. Because first of all, you hate yourself. See, there's a lot of people out here that hate themselves. You would have to align yourself with someone who you know that hates you and you want to kiss their ass. You hate yourself. What else could it be? 1 + 1 = 1. 2 + 2 = 2. You rhyme with someone who hates you. It equals you hate yourself.
I agree. And if I may add something, this thing about religion, in my hometown of Redlands, Loma Linda, you have a high population of Seventh-day Adventists. And do you know they have their own churches? They don't go to the same church. Blacks go to a Seventh-day Adventist church. Filipinos go to a Seventh-day Adventist church. Hispanics go to a Seventh-day Adventist church. You know, so they don't even go to the same church together. So I just don't understand.
Well, personally, I just mentioned something about that. I don't support, in order for me to attend a church, it would have to be like a rainbow, all different colors. It couldn't be. And I know that some churches are in predominantly black communities. I know some churches are in predominantly white communities. But I'm saying my preference is, I would go to any church, no matter what community it was in, if it was mixed. I don't want to be because that's not what heaven going to look like.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Harold. Thanks for the call. All right, let's get to Eric from Culver City.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind this morning, Eric?
Good morning. I hope you're doing well. I've kind of... When you started with religion, I myself was Catholic for a good 20, 25 years. But like when I witnessed too much and started paying more attention, the hypocrisy of the people, the bigotry, I abandoned the church. I didn't want to participate in that kind of thing. And then I hear when Marie Antoinette and the Messianic Brent, when they call in and they present only this one side, the religious side and the right-wing side. And they call into the station, which is very liberal. And there's all these other programs. There's a gentleman a month ago or so called in and named off a few programs. But I listen to other programs here, and they're very informative and educational. Programs like QR Code, Living in the USA, Background Briefing, these are very educational. And these people, they get a voice to call in here, but maybe they should also listen to these other programs too and be a little bit informed. And I don't really hear that they, I'm not confident that they actually listen to anything else except just to call in and voice their opinions.
Maybe
so anyway,
maybe so,
anyway,
Eric.
Yes.
Well, let me just respond to that real quick. Maybe so. Well, see, I don't believe in silencing someone's voice as long as they're not being disrespectful to another person's belief or disrespectful, you know, to an individual person. I don't agree, and you know I don't agree with a lot of things Brent say, and you know I don't agree with a whole lot of things Antoinette say, but I do feel that, you know, I'm a strong person that believes in the First Amendment. And so I let them come on and say what they want to say. And it's up to people like you and other people who call in to say, no, I don't agree with that, and to challenge it. We can agree to disagree. No, I doubt if I ever change their mind. But I believe that as long as we have breath, there's an opportunity for somebody's ideology to change when it's wrong. And so that's all I'm trying to do. I'm glad they listen to the station because they get to hear Eric from Culver City. They get to hear Errol. They get to hear Robert. They get to hear all these different people call. And maybe they might have a change of heart somewhere down the line. I don't know. But I don't want to silence what they have to say because I would be no different from what the Trump administration is trying to do.
You're absolutely correct. I'm not saying you should silence them, but we should encourage them to listen to other programs that they're informative, that maybe they can think through the issues more deeply instead of just presenting their one side. It's probably a dream that can't be fulfilled, but I was hoping we could encourage them. And that's good that we get to hear their voices, their opposing opinions. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for the call. And maybe they're listening to you right now, Eric, and maybe they might tune into those stations. We'll know, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Especially Q&R code.
All right. Okay, thank you. All right, let's get to, I think it's, is it Kareem or Karen? I think it's Kareem from Orange County.
Yes, sir, that is.
Okay, Kareem. Okay, what's on your mind this morning, bro?
I wanted to reference to an article on a veterans website. It's called Veteran. The article is a Jewish name author, August 16, 2026, just 2 weeks ago, and it documents that Hamas is Netanyahu's creation and funding and so on. It's very well documented. Goes on to document that the so-called Israelis and Israeli settlers are neither Jewish nor Semites, but Ashkenazi, which is then imported into.
You're breaking up, Kareem. You're breaking up. I don't know how you position or what, but your conversation
breaking
is
up.
Going in. Yeah, your conversation is going in and out.
And then was that on KPFK on Ralph Nader radio the 21st February last year, 2025.
Kareem, I tell you what, Kareem, let's do this. Why don't you try to call back because half of the things that you're saying is not being heard. It's going in and out. So I don't know if you can get back through, but whenever you call, you have to have yourself in a position to where your call is going to come through. Because if the people can't hear what you're trying to say, it's a waste of time. Okay, I think he's probably gone. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip. It's kind of a lengthy clip, but I want to play this clip because this is something I was just it's a good clip. I'll just let you guys listen to it, and you can comment on it if you like, but I'm going to make a comment afterwards. Okay, Irene, I'm ready.
What I often say to black folks now in this climate of extraordinary hate is we did it before, and we can do it again.
Yeah.
And we had far less. Okay, we had far less to work with, and we had much greater tragedies confronting us. And I believe in that. I believe that we are the pupil of the eye, surrounded by a sea of white. But it is the pupil that contains the sight. It beholds what is before it. That's scriptural. And I believe that that is what the greatest fear is what I see you. And I can see through you.
Yeah.
And we have to remind our children that they were born with the right to be treated with respect and integrity. They didn't have to earn it. Every human being was born with the right. And we need to infuse into them their intrinsic nobility, their intrinsic greatness. That's what we have to infuse in our children, regardless of what anyone else does. I'm not waiting for someone else to educate
listen,
my children.
I think that's what's so important, right? And you tell this story about the Statue of Liberty. And as a former history teacher, you know, I just love these historical facts, right?
Yeah.
That we cannot negate. We cannot skip past. So you tell this story of the Statue of Liberty being commissioned in 1865 by the French artist and the original drawing
right.
of the Statue of Liberty.
And, you know, that story, I had no idea that it resonated the way it did with folks because I was experiencing it, right? So it's actually, the whole story is in the book, the revised book. Mm-hmm. I actually put it in there. So it was around 2007, 2008. A friend of mine called me and said me Joy. And this friend, Floyd Myers, brother of Heavy D, he called me, says, Joy, you know, he lives in Mount Vernon. And our families are really close. He said, I got a new job. I said, what's the new job? He said, I work for the Department of the Interior. I said, really? He said, I'm over all the national parks for the state of New York, right? So forestry department, all of these. He said, I'd like you to come to the Statue of Liberty. I said, no. And he said, no, why not? I said, I'm not going, Floyd. It's going to make me mad. I'm not going. He says, well, why is it going to make you mad? I said, because, well, you know, I've been to France. I'd actually seen the original drawings of Bartholdi, who was the architect who did the sculpture. I knew that the Statue of Liberty, you know, and everybody knows in her right hand, she's holding a torch. And I always ask my audience, what is she holding in her left hand? Right. And when I was at the Statue of Liberty, because I eventually agreed, you know, because Floyd was insistent and he said, I can give you a pass. We can go up in her eye and everything. I said, okay. So when I go there, I'm going there with the knowledge that the Statue of Liberty was holding originally in her left hand, broken chains. Again, commissioned 1865, pretty important date, end of slavery, yeah. End of the Civil War. All of those things were why. She is a statue of what?
Liberty.
Which makes sense. So she has broken chains in her left hand. Now she's holding a rectangular object with a Roman numeral on it. That's what she's holding. So I'm telling Floyd, I said, I know for a fact this is a historical document. I know it is. So we first thing that happens when you go to Statue of Liberty, and I actually went to the first time with a friend of mine, and her name is Faith Holmes. And Faith is white, very white, white, blonde hair, blue eyes. She almost got us thrown out of the place. She had a meltdown, right? I'm going, look, you can't be melting down here. Okay, we're not having it, you know, news at 11. We're there, and I'm the really, really very, very, the ranger who was, you know, you get taken together and you get put in these groups. You're assigned a ranger. And he was very enthusiastic. He really was. He's a really enthusiastic man. He says, so now, you know, I am going to be your ranger today. And they tell you more about the Statue of Liberty than you ever want to know. They tell you why it's green, because it was copper and it oxidized. They tell you how they got it over there. They tell you how they changed the torch a couple of times. They tell you that they even show you how thin it is, right? Mm. Just how thin the whole thing is, right? And he says, and if you have any questions, so of course.
Excuse me.
My hand shot up, right? And I said, I was wondering if you're going to talk about the chains, right? So now you got to understand, every 20 minutes, thousands of people are getting off that ferry, coming to Ellis Island, coming to Statue of Liberty. So I say something about chains, and now you got people translating it into different languages. They go, she said something about chains, right? So, because I knew that she was holding, you know, those broken chains. So now at this point, I'm like, you know, they got to be here somewhere. So Floyd and I are now looking for the historical document that I said, the picture of it. I said, they can't not have it. It's a Statue of Liberty. They got to have it there. So we go into the basement of the Statue of Liberty.
This was so crazy to me.
We're in the basement of the Statue of Liberty. We find the document encased in glass behind figurines facing a wall in a hallway.
Hmm.
So here we have the truth hidden
in plain sight.
So I'm sitting there going, so Floyd, I take a picture of it. The picture is in the book, right? So I took a picture and I said, this is insane. I said, this is really insane that, you know, here I, you know, we have that picture. Well, I then asked my audience, you know, who won the argument? Because Bartholdi insisted that the chains remain. He really did. He was adamant. He was an advocate for abolitionism. He said the chains got to stay. And I asked the audience, who won? Did Bartholdi win or did the United States win? And they always say, well, you know, the United States won. I said, no, they didn't. Bartholdi won. The chains are actually still there. And they have always been there the entire time at her feet, where it is impossible to see them under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Those broken shackles are on both sides. On her, as she's looks like she's walking, there are broken shackles at her feet. So the agreement was, we'll keep the chains, but we'll make it so no one can see them.
Yeah.
Because if she's on a pedestal, the Statue of Liberty, if no one who's ever been, sometimes they don't realize, because we always see her like she's standing flat on the ground, but she's on a huge pedestal. Right. So you can't see over to see the chains. And if you're inside, you can't see them. So they're there and they're hidden. So now I'm feeling some kind of way, right? But I'm thinking, Floyd just got the job. You know what I'm saying? The man.
I can't let him lose his good black job.
I can't get the man. So I took Floyd, and Floyd, being Floyd, he said, go on and bring it, Joy. Go on and bring it. So I spoke to his supervisor. I said, you know, I would like to pay to have a picture of the chains at her feet so that they're on display. And they're explained. And he said, no. I said, I'll tell you what I can do. I said, I'm sure that I can get, just cross the water, a black sculptor that will just sculpt that part. Because God knows they show you every aspect of the Statue of Liberty. And he said, yeah, no. I said, okay, I'm going to tell on you. And so I travel all over the world.
Yeah.
For a living, I travel all over the world. And I told this story. And I show the pictures all over the world. So I get this call from the Department of the Interior. They said, we'd like to talk to you, Dr. DeGruy. And I'm going, you know, I'm not scared. I'm from South Central. You know, I did tell my family where I was going. So they call me and I come over and his boss, I think it was his boss's boss, who said to me, Dr. DeGruy, we want to, one, apologize and we want to acknowledge that we've been negligent and we want to correct this. We want to immediately correct this. And the first thing we want to do is, we want to hire you to train all our rangers. I said, okay. And we're going to correct the, you know, this negligence we've shown. So I didn't believe him. So I went back undercover, right? Because I wanted to know a couple of things. I wanted to know if they were going to first talk about the chains unasked, because I had asked
about
the chains. And I was assigned with my little group. This is 2013, 2014. I'll go back. And I want to know if they've actually changed that. And my third visit, I go back and I have a great ranger. The ranger not only tells the story of the chains, turns to me and says, this is American history I'm sharing. It is your history and it is my history. And I am proud to tell the story. It's a white ranger, right? So I'm thinking.
All right now. So for those who want to know what the chains are about, I the clip is long, and naturally we don't have enough time to play it in its entirety. But the clip is called Fearless Black Professor Drops Hard Truths Confronting Trump and White America Lies to Black Folks. And just to say that we've all this time have believed that the Statue of Liberty represented one thing when actually it did not. So look at the clip and we'll go from there. Okay, let's get to some more callers. Okay, look like we have Kareem back on from out of Orange County. You on the line, Kareem?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay,
you hear me, sir?
Okay. So let's finish up what you were saying.
Yes, sir. First, I refer to an article on Veterans Today website written by a Jewish author dated August 16th. It says, "Who is Hamas?" You should definitely read that, because it proves without a doubt that Hamas was and is Satan Yahu's creation to take over Gaza and genocide its population. And then I wanted to also bring up the fact that on the 21st of February, Ralph Nader Radio Hour had a guest called Professor Henry James. And he started saying that an insider, a friend of his who was an insider in the Mossad terrorist operations, he told him 6 months before October 23, 2023, he told him 6 months before that they had planned a major operation together with Hamas, which was deployed on October 7th, 2023, which was a false flag operation in order to launch their capture and genocide of Gaza. And then, as he started talking, Ralph Nader cut him off and said, "Oh, now let's go back to Trump." And there was no discussion of Trump, but he just cut him off and said, "Let's go back to Trump." And then he prevented him from going any further into that. All he needed to do was to let him finish his sentence and explore it to bring up to light that this is what is going on, instead of covering it up any further. So that's why I'm saying that KPFK is a controlled opposition, not a real public media in control of the public. That's all I got to say. Thank you, sir.
All right. Okay. Yes, you most definitely entitled to your opinion. I would hope that I'm not put in that box, because I, whether I agree with someone or not, I'm going to let them say what they have to say. And if it's to a point where I disagree with them, like, real hard, and I have a discussion about it. But thanks for the call. All right, let's get to Antoinette, Sunset Beach.
Good morning.
Good morning, Antoinette. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, no problem, hon. First off, I want to send my condolences to your daughter, to her mama. I know that's very, very tough, very tough. And we send blessings to her. And she'll get to see her mom, though, on the other side. That I do know with all my heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ is merciful in that way. Hopefully, she'll be on the other side where your daughter goes when she passes this.
Oh, she will. She will. Yeah, I'm hoping to see you on the other side.
You will.
All right.
Been there, done that.
So what you got going on today? Okay, I know.
Well, what I got going on today is a couple things.
Okay.
The thing of the white supremacy that a lot of people like to profess and speak about, as so much as a lot of callers do on your program, and white supremacy. I think you guys are missing the point. We, as American citizens first, it was quite a few different types of people that came over on the different ships, and when they discovered America and tried to make America an amazing place. And the professor, the black woman, talking about the chains at the bottom of the feet of the Statue of Liberty, that in itself, I think, all people that have come to the United States, this is why they come here, because all those other countries in the rest of the world, they're very much into confining their freedoms. Now, President Trump, which I am grateful and God has put him here at this moment in time, he's done so many wonderful things. It's just he had to stop a number of programs because of the fraud due to a number of past presidents And a lot of Democrats, unfortunately, they've turned communists, they've turned Marxists, they've turned socialists. So we got to get all that corruption out. We're going to start it up again, all those programs for sure. But it's so sad that a lot of people that call in your program here this morning don't see it. I keep praying for all you guys. Now, I did leave the Catholic Church and I became a Christian in another Calvary Chapel, Calvary Churches, which I love because they speak about the Bible more. And that to me is super important. But I'm going to continue listening. I like the debates that we have on the radio here. But just know that I'm praying for all you guys that you'll wake up. Because we don't want communism, we don't want Marxism, we want to support each other. Because we don't know anybody anything here in this country. We pick up ourselves by the bootstraps.
Thanks for the call.
It's Antoinette, hon.
Yeah, Antoinette, I'm sorry. I meant yeah, Antoinette. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You take care,
you
and
too.
Blessings to you guys.
You
bye.
Too. You too. Make a quick comment to some of the things she say. When you talk about the Democratic Party, they do have a swing from the party like how the Republicans had a swing on that Tea Party. The Democrat has this DSA, the Democratic Socialists. And they're pushing some things that I don't agree with. Abolish prison, abolish this, abolish that, all that. I'm not in agreement with it. But what they're not trying to do is abolish the press, trying to stifle our First Amendment rights. They're not trying to challenge all the norms of the institution. Trump won't even listen to. Now, we're talking about communism. Trump won't even follow court orders. He's doing what he want to do. So I'm actually on next week, if I'm here, I'm going to comment about what Antoinette said about this these Democratic Socialists and the communism and all of that, because that really needs to be talked about. And it's Trump that's actually trying to be the communist. All right, let's get to Lynn from out of Los Angeles.
Hello, good morning. I am calling in honor of Pierre Damas Bell, the eldest of three siblings, Haitian immigrant living in Springfield, Ohio, for a couple years. He was an honors student in high school. He wore an ROTC uniform. He played soccer for the Springfield Wildcats, and he had just entered Wright State University as a freshman, August 24th. He wanted to study medicine, be a neuroscientist, and make the world a better place. But he was picked up by ICE and, an ankle bracelet was placed on his ankle, and he couldn't put his uniform on anymore. He felt very humiliated and ashamed of that, and he was bullied because of that ankle bracelet that he did not deserve. And he would speak with his father and say, "I don't feel like myself anymore. There's something wrong. I don't know what to do." He used to be an energetic kid, according to his dad, who loved life and friends and family and education. He was doing all the right things under TPS status, legal status. But he walked in front of, on the highway, parked his car on the side and walked in front of a tanker and was killed. It was suicide, they say. And I just felt, when you mentioned that you were a youth counselor, I wonder what advice or what counseling you would have given if you had met this guy who was so troubled and, I mean, just deeply ashamed and humiliated and feeling like he couldn't go on in life. Could you have said something to make a difference or to try to make him feel better?
Well, it's always something that can be said, but the question is, would it have resonated with him? And sometimes we don't look past what's going on. We don't see the future. And what I would have shared with him is just to stay strong and endure. Mm-hmm. Because this Trump crap, like I told you, this white supremacy, all that crap, it's out of here. Yeah. It's done. Yeah. And you just have to, what do we call it? Perseverance. I remember when I was incarcerated, and they told me I wasn't going to never come home, and I didn't believe it, and I persevered, and I came home. And these are the type of stories through my testimony I share with youth, because he's not the only one that's going through this. You have, I counsel all ethnicities. I don't discriminate who I counsel. And you have some of these Hispanic youth that's afraid of for their parents and what's going to happen to them mm-hmm. in the near future. So that's what I would have told him to persevere. It's unfortunate. I'm very aware of that story, Lynn, and mm-hmm. I felt real mm-hmm. bad about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your input. It always, you have a strong voice, and I appreciate your comment. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Lynn. Okay. Let's get to Brent, my main man, Brent. What's on your mind this morning, Brent?
A blessed morning, Mark.
Okay, Brent, let's go kind of fast. I hate, but yes. I got one more call after you, and I want to try to get both of you in. Okay.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to extend my deepest condolences to your dear daughter.
Thank
May
you.
May her life be
Thank
lived
you.
As a tribute, honor, and a blessing to her beloved mother and to you, her father. Secondly, I feared Joyful Jerry had purged you from the air, as woke, white, democratic supremacist women always do. Mark, you violate Marx's and Muhammad's most unpardonable sin. You tolerate truth being told to America's democratic socialist plantation slaves yearning to be free. You are a modern-day Spartacus, standing against white, democratic, satanic supremacy. And if you can't be muzzled during the left's celebration of 9/11 and America's blessed 250th birthday, they will have to Charlie Kirk you.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't like that. Sounds ominous. Charlie Kirk, I know what happened to him. But listen, Brent, let me get to one last caller, and then call a little earlier, because I want to go a little further on what you're talking about, but I don't have time this Sunday. Thanks for the call. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get to Dr. Haley from out of Los Angeles.
Howdy, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. We don't have a lot of time. I'm almost at the end.
I understand.
All right.
Well, yeah, well, it was just mentioned by your immediate caller. What I want to do particularly is remind folks, myself, that we're coming real quickly on the 25th anniversary of that terrible 9/11 event in New York City. But at the same time, I'd like to remind folks that there was never a really adequate official investigation of that event. The evidence seems to support that it was actually a false flag event designed to put the USA on a military footing and super boost the military intelligence budgets. I want to say most of what I'm hearing lately is a lot of USA, and, let's grieve over 9/11. And I think we have to really look at this with the lens, so to speak. I don't know what really happened here. We really bamboozled, and the nation's never been the same with the Patriot Act and all this baloney. So God bless everybody, and please, people, be aware and get educated about this stuff.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Dr. Haley. And we're coming at the end of the show. Again, I want to say to my daughter, I love you, and I know what it feels like to lose a mom, and you're just going to have to stay strong. And I hope all your family, I hope all of you wrap your arms around each other and be there for each other. It's difficult. To the lady that called in, Lynn, talking about that that Haitian youth that walked out in front of, I think he walked out in front of a truck. That was real difficult for me to hear. He was going into college. He was actually going to be something in to society. He was going to have something to contribute. I'll talk about that the next time I'm on the air. With that being said, I want to give a shout out to my technical engineer, Irene. She always does a great job. I give her some last minute things and she still take care of it for me. And I'm glad to be back. Thank you for all the listeners and the people that have called in. And with that being said, I'm up out of here.
Hello, I'm Ian Masters, the host of Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org and heard on KPFK Mondays through Thursdays at 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 11 a.m. Background Briefing looks into three or four of the important stories and issues of the day to provide an in-depth daily briefing with context, history, and insight from the best-informed guests closest to the scene, who offer analysis and details often overlooked by the soundbite-driven media, more and more controlled by Trump-friendly oligarchs. So if you want facts and information,